Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. This losing team has a lot of fans. How is that possible? Hi friends, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Rebecca, and today is September the 28th. Today we are on a sports article. It's a very interesting article to me because as a non-American, I did not grow up with football, but I know it is very important in American culture. So I'd like to invite a New Yorker, our very own Peter, to the show.
Hello. Hello, Rebecca. Hi, everyone.
Peter, I know you are a fan of baseball.
Yes.
You've said it many times. You are very, very proud of the New York Yankees.
Absolutely.
Yes, and the New York Yankees is something we're also proud of because we have a very, very famous pitcher, Mr. Wang Jianmin,
yes,
from Tainan,
yeah,
who was on the New York Yankees some years ago,
mm-hmm,
making that team forever part of, also a part of our lives,
yes,
for some years.
No, so, I love the many New York Yankees caps that I'll see around the city of Taipei on people's heads.
Oh, yes. It's very, very popular as a fashion statement.
Right. And that is a little bit with help from the hip-hop community as well. Rap music has also helped that. But, yeah, it's always good to see the New York Yankees logo.
That's right. Makes you feel at home. Well, we will do a Yankees article at some point, Peter. I'm sure we'll write about them at some point. But today we're going to talk about American football. And for us who are non-Americans, it's actually kind of hard to understand how big football is, especially in colleges and universities and beyond. It's a huge part of American life, especially during college. So, Peter, before we go on, I'd like to make the distinction. So, in the U.S., we have American football. Now, soccer, in the U.S., we call soccer, soccer, right? That black and white ball that we follow at the World Cup. And I know many of us follow the World Cup here in Asia. Not always for the sports. Some of us love to follow it because of the many handsome men who are on the teams. And now Peter is just laughing. But friends,
that's
you know,
not a reason I follow the World Cup.
I know.
Good for you.
I know I'm being honest. And I speak for a lot of women here. A lot of us follow the World Cup, not just for the sports, for the beauty of soccer, but also for the attractiveness of the players. But putting that aside and getting back to business, we're talking about American football. Peter, can you describe American football in a few sentences? What is American football?
Well, American football is actually not that different from European football, from soccer, from basketball, from hockey, from your own country of Canada, Rebecca. All these sports are about two teams trying to move a ball or some other object of some kind from one end of the field to the other, or from one end of the court to the other. And if they do, then they score points. The main difference with American football, though, is two things. The shape of the ball. It's not a round sphere like it is in basketball or soccer. It's this more oval-shaped thing with points on the end. The other main difference is that in American football, the ball has to be possessed by a person in order to score. In soccer, in basketball, in hockey, the ball can be thrown or kicked or hit into the scoring area. In American football, it has to be carried.
So you mean when you make a point, you have to be carrying the ball?
Someone has to have possession of the ball.
Can you kick
in
the ball?
Scoring area?
Can you kick the ball into the scoring area?
You can, but you don't score. So
oh.
No, I mean, no one would.
You actually have to physically carry that ball across the scoring area.
That is the main difference. In American football, the ball cannot be kicked or thrown or hit into the scoring area. It has to be carried by a person or caught by a person, by one person throwing it to the person, and they catch the ball in the scoring area. And that's the only way to score points. Other than that, it's basically soccer or basketball or hockey, just moving up and down the field. If you lose possession of the ball, then it shifts to the other team and, you know, they start, the offense turns to defense and it, you know, turns over like that. The main difference is that in American football, again, the ball has to be held by a human being in the scoring area in order to score the points. That's why American football has tackling. That's why they're always trying to knock each other down, because where the ball means nothing if it's not in someone's hands. There's no way to score if the ball is not in someone's hands. So you can't just block the ball in American football like you can in soccer or basketball. You have to block the person. You have to block a person who is carrying the ball. So that gives rise to all the protective gear they wear, the football helmets, the padding, and all that. And that's why generally football, American football players are big, beefy, muscular guys, because there's a lot of rock'em sock'em action.
That is a really good point, Peter. Thank you for explaining. I actually did not know that. I thought you could kick the ball into the goal.
Nope.
And the reason I thought that is because in American football, you can carry the ball or you can throw the ball. Or you can kick the ball. You can do all three.
Right.
So I actually didn't know to score, you had to be carrying the ball.
Right. You're always throwing it or kicking it to someone. With one exception, if you score, then there is this additional, you score 7 points at a time. If you throw a pass to your teammate in the scoring area, he catches it. Touchdown, 7 points. You can get an extra point, a single extra point, if you then kick the ball through those so-called goal posts, giant fork-like object. And if you can, if your player can kick the ball through those posts from a certain distance away, you get an extra point. But that is the only time you can score a point where someone doesn't have possession of the ball. You won't win the game just by kicking field goals, as they're called. You get the majority of your points through touchdowns, which are achieved, again, by someone carrying the ball into the end zone or by someone catching it in the end zone.
Thank you, Peter. It's a very good explanation. So before we go further, I'd like to explain again. Today we are talking about American football. And the reason when we talk about American football, we add the word American is in British English, when you say football, they think soccer. So in British English, when you have the term football, I like to play football. They're not talking about American football.
Right.
They're talking about that black and white ball. And, you know, in American English, we call that soccer. So that's why to make the distinction between soccer and American football, we always add the word American football.
Yeah.
Usually when we're in the press, when we're talking outside the U.S., we always use American football. In the States, you can just say football. But when you're beyond, or when you're outside the U.S., we say American football.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's the difference. Well, friends, we've had a very interesting start, and today we're actually not talking just about football. We're talking about the business of football. We're talking about one of the most successful business-wise football teams or even sports teams in history. But what is really interesting about this particular team is they haven't won a Super Bowl, and that is the biggest tournament, the most important sports tournament for American football in 30 years. So it's really amazing. This is an extremely popular team that's making tons of money, but they suck. Well, no, we can't say they suck, but they haven't done very well sports-wise. Like,
right.
They haven't done too well on the field in 30 years.
They haven't, I mean, to be fair, they haven't won the Super Bowl. A team in American football can do well without necessarily winning the Super Bowl. That is, like you said, the ultimate championship of the season, and is team that wins it is very popular and all that. But you can have what's called a winning season in football and other sports as well, in which you simply win more games than you lose. And that is considered a successful season for that team. But the point here certainly is that the fame and success of the Cowboys seems disproportionately high to the number of times they have won the Super Bowl.
Yes, especially considering they haven't won one in 30 years.
Yes.
That's a long time.
So,
like, if you are trying to bet on a team a winning team, probably the Cowboys is not your top pick.
Right.
But in terms of making money, in terms of popularity, they continue to lead by far the entire field, not just in football, in almost all sports. So this is a very interesting thought. So over today and Well, basically over the next 3 days, we will be talking about the success of the Dallas Cowboys and what are some of the factors that have made them so successful. So let's get into our first reading for today.
America's Team. Why a losing American football team is the most profitable sports team in the world. Since 1996, the value of the Dallas Cowboys has outgained the S&P 500 by more than double, increasing 47 times over to a world record $12.8 billion, according to Sportico's latest analysis. Simultaneously, the team has failed to reach the NFC Championship game over that same time frame, the longest such drought in the National Football League, NFL. The dichotomy is no mystery. Some years they'll be good, and some years they'll be bad. But they'll never be boring, said Brad Sham, a longtime radio commentator for the team known as the voice of the Dallas Cowboys. Built on the legacy of America's team, fabled owner Jerry Jones has catapulted the Cowboys into omnipresence, making them more valuable than any other sports team in the world. More than any Super Bowl record holder, more than the century-old oligarch-owned teams of European soccer, more than anything America's megalopolises have to offer, including the New York Yankees. How?
Let's start, Peter, with talking about the value of the Dallas Cowboys. And the Dallas Cowboys is the American football team from Dallas, Texas. So first, since 1996, the value, this is the financial value of the Cowboys, has outgained the S&P 500.
By more than double.
That's amazing. Well, let's talk about the S&P 500. The S&P 500, we're talking about, well, I know many of our listeners, you probably own stocks. So the S&P 500 is the stock market index that tracks the top 500, the largest 500 publicly traded companies in the U.S. So that the biggest 500 companies in the U.S. that are on the stock market, that's the S&P 500. So that's the index that to track it. And S&P 500, usually a lot of people buy mutual funds or ETFs that are, you know, that are made up of companies that are on the S&P 500.
Right.
So the value of the Dallas Cowboys is just, they're really valuable.
It has outgained, it has performed better than the S&P 500, than 500 large publicly traded companies. And the S&P 500 is considered to be a benchmark, not the only one, but a benchmark for the overall health of the United States economy. So we can say here that the Dallas Cowboys have, in a sense, performed even better than the United States economy since 1996.
Yes, and their value, well, this is a crazy, crazy number. Their value has increased 47 times in the past 30 years. The value of the Cowboys has increased 47 times. Now they're worth more than $12.8 billion.
Yes, I think we better start calling them the Dollars Cowboys.
I think that's a great name, the Dollars Cowboys. And the Dollars Cowboys, they should have dollar signs on their uniforms. Well, let's continue, Peter. But what makes this really interesting is they haven't won that much in terms of, usually we think of, you know, in most things in life, we love the winners. Like, for example, in politics, we love winning candidates. In fact, you think about U.S. politics, if someone loses an election to be president, mm-hmm. it's almost certain they will not get on the ticket again.
Mm-hmm.
That means in the next election cycle, nobody wants a loser on the ticket.
Right, unless you're Donald Trump.
Unless you're Donald Trump. And, well, he's the subject for many other stories. But usually we don't like losers. So this is like, this whole thing is just mind-boggling that this team can be so valuable. But in the past 30 years, they haven't won a championship to prove that they're worth that.
Right, right. This is like an election that's held every year, and they've lost every year since 1996. Good word there in that second paragraph. Simultaneously, big long word, but it just means two things that happen at exactly the same time, simultaneously. They have performed better than the S&P 500 in terms of their revenue, but they have also failed to reach the NFC championship game over that same time. The NFC, National Football Conference, that is one of two conferences or groups of teams in the overall National Football League. The Super Bowl game is the best team from the NFC and the best team from the other group, the AFC, the American Football Conference. That's how they determine the teams that meet in the Super Bowl. So not only have the Cowboys not won the Super Bowl, they have not even made it to the Super Bowl. They have not even made it to the NFC Championship game, which is the game that determines which NFC team goes to the Super Bowl. So they haven't even made it to the runner-up round of the championship tournament over
and
these last 30 years.
If we compare them to the other teams, they've done a lot worse. So in the next sentence, actually says the longest such drought in the National Football League.
Yeah.
So here we talk about drought. Usually we talk about drought as a long period of time without rain. Like we might say, there is a drought in Africa right now. It's a problem because it hasn't rained for months, right? But we also use drought when we're talking, especially in sports, when you have done poorly for a very long time. You have not won anything, right? And then we say you're in a drought.
Yeah, so yeah. A slump. You'll also
you're in a
sometimes.
Slump. You know, you're in a slump. So we use this in sports a lot. You're in a slump. So drought, slump. And then we go on to say the dichotomy is no mystery. Dichotomy, die, two.
Right. These two things that are simultaneously true but seem incapable of being simultaneously true, that a team could perform so poorly on the field and yet so well at the bank.
And then the voice of the Dallas Cowboys. So we have a radio broadcaster, radio commentator. So a lot of times when you watch sports, we like to have somebody commenting and explaining to us what's happening on the ground, happening in the field. And so someone who knows the Dallas Cowboys very well, his name is Brad Sham. He is known as the voice of the Dallas Cowboys because when the Cowboys, they play games, he is this person, he's commenting on what's going on in the game. So he knows them extremely well. And he says, some years they'll be good, some years they'll be bad, but they'll never be boring. So this is interesting. They're not boring.
They're not boring.
They're not boring. And being good is not a requirement for their success.
Yeah, apparently. This was news to me, really, that teams, any sports team, much less an American football team in particular, that any sports team could be successful despite having not performed on the field, having been unsuccessful on the field.
Well, let's talk about one of their owners. And the owner here, the next paragraph, we explain it as fabled owner Jerry Jones. Fabled.
Yeah, fabled. That's a good word. It means a fable is a story or a legend or sometimes even a myth that you tell about someone or that people tell about someone who did something extraordinary, who did something famous. You think of like the heroes of Greek myth and such. We might say, you know, the fabled demigod Hercules who did all these immense feats of strength. Well, Jerry Jones is fabled, in football circles at least, for the way, as the article says, he catapulted the Cowboys into omnipresence. A couple words there, catapulted, meaning a great and sudden rise to something, usually something successful, based on an old medieval warfare weapon which threw rocks over the wall of a castle that the army was attacking. It catapulted them. And so it's used figuratively here. He catapulted the Cowboys into omnipresence, meaning they just seemed to be everywhere at all times. Another word for successful, for famous. And this is what fabled owner Jerry Jones has done. And that's why he's referred to as fable, just to emphasize the immense impact that he had upon the Dallas Cowboys.
And when we're comparing the Dallas Cowboys to other football teams, and not just football, even other sports teams, like for example, soccer. We know that soccer teams make a lot of money because soccer is also extremely popular around the world. So in the next paragraph, we go on to say, more than any Super Bowl record holder, more than the century-old oligarch-owned teams of European soccer. Oligarch. So we usually, when we think of oligarch, I think of certain countries like Russia, for example. And an oligarch is basically, usually it's like someone who has powerful friends in politics. They're a very, very, very wealthy business person who is very closely connected to the political leader of the country they're from. And usually, like, for example, we say the Russian oligarchs, like Putin has some good buddies, good business friends. And then these people, they own like half the country. Like they own all the most important industries. And they are just extremely, extremely, very, very rich. So this is the oligarch. So these oligarch owned, many popular European teams are owned by Russian oligarchs.
Right. Or, and so you would think that they are very successful because they have all that oligarch money to support them and support their endeavors.
Yes. And we also say that Dallas Cowboys, even though Dallas is a big city in the U.S., it's not the biggest city.
Right.
Or it's not probably not even the top five in terms of size. Like in terms of size, probably New York, L.A., Chicago probably are a lot bigger. So a team that comes from a big city but not the biggest city, and here we have an interesting word, Peter, with mega.
Megalopolis.
So anytime, yes. Megalopolis. What is megalopolis? It sounds Greek and it sounds pretty fancy.
Right. Well, Greek mega, meaning anything very much or large, mega, and polis, the Greek root word for city or community, megalopolis, a big word that just means a very big city.
Yes. So a team from a big city, but not the biggest city from the U.S. or from around the world, they are extremely popular. Well, let's continue on into our second reading, and we'll start on some of the reasons that the Cowboys have become so popular.
A wide range of reasons, from the team's on-field legend, the off-field brand, and the marketing of both, to innovative business tactics and the inherent advantages of the NFL. These aren't the makings of a sports team. They're the makings of a business empire. Forbes' 2024 analysis of the Cowboys' financials attributed $2.3 billion of their then valuation of $10.1 billion to its market size. For comparison, that number was only $1.1 billion for the New York Giants, who reside in a much larger metro area. That's because the attention the Cowboys capture is second to none. They boast the most total followers on social media, 20.5 million as of June 2025, of any NFL team. The team's merchandise sales routinely top the league's ranks, and they generate the most Google search interest.
And while the Cowboys certainly have a lot of fans, they have a lot of haters too. The people who hate the Cowboys hate them ferociously, deeply, and viciously, Sham said. And they will never stop talking about them.
So, you know, we're trying to break down why the Dallas Cowboys have been so successful financially. And there's actually really, there's just a lot of reasons, aren't there, Peter?
Yeah. It lists some of them here. The team's on-field legend. On-field means how they actually play the game and how well they do, whether they win or lose. And the off-field brand, which, as you might guess, means what they don't do on the field, the business, the aspect of the Cowboys, the brand name, and the marketing of both, as it says. So this includes innovative business tactics or, you know, approaches, strategies, innovative business tactics. Also, the inherent advantages of the NFL, the National Football League. Inherent meaning something that is natural to something, comes with it, not something that is acquired from outside. If someone has an inherent talent for something, it means they're just born with it. And so the NFL, as a business, has certain inherent advantages just because of the nature of its business.
Yes. And then, well, Forbes' 2024 analysis of their financials attributed $2.3 billion of their then valuation. So in 2024, the Cowboys were valued at $10.1 billion. And then Forbes said that $2.3 billion of this is due to its market size. Yes, but the number for the New York Giants, that's another football team, right? New York has how many football teams? Two? Or more than two?
Well, technically,
New York City has two, right?
Right, right. New York City has the Giants and the Jets, two football teams. It has two basketball teams, the Knicks and the Nets. They have played in and around New York City. Technically, some of them play in New Jersey, but they're still considered New York teams. And two baseball teams, the Yankees, of course, and the Mets.
Yes, but the New York Giants, they're not as popular, although they reside in a much larger metro area, right? New York is a much bigger city than Dallas.
It is a megalopolis, is New York.
Yes, but in terms of sales, and we'll get into that in just a little bit, in terms of sales, like, the Giants do not make as much money as the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And what's the reason? Let's start breaking down. Let's try to figure out why this is so. So, Peter, what's one reason?
Right. Well, the main reason here that the article is going to sort of flesh out over the next 2 days is in that third paragraph there of our section. The attention the Cowboys capture is second to none. The attention. We're even going to hear a phrase tomorrow's reading, the attention economy. The Cowboys get people's attention. Whether they win or lose, people pay attention to them.
Yes, and when we say second to none, this is a great phrase to learn. It just means that something or someone who is the best, or they're just better than all the others. They're better than the other options. So if, for example, if I say that this restaurant is second to none,
right,
when it comes to French food, then you know that this is the best French restaurant in town.
Right, because if you're second to none, that means you're automatically in first place. You know?
Yes, yes. And, well, let's talk about some numbers, because we need numbers to back up our claim.
Right.
So first, the Cowboys, they boast the most total followers on social media. They have 20.5 million social media followers. So they have a lot of people on social media watching their every move. And then the next thing is, of course, sales.
Sales, right.
What does their sales numbers look like?
Well, the team's merchandise sales routinely top the league's ranks. Routinely meaning something that always happens, like a routine. You go to work every day, that's your routine. You come home at night. Well, for the Cowboys, their routine is topping the league's ranking of merchandise sales.
Yes, and merchandise here, we're talking about the products or goods that are sold. So, for example, for a sports team, a lot of that would be merchandise would be, like, for example, jerseys or T-shirts or baseball caps that they sell, like a lot of like accessories.
Mm-hmm.
Like it could be backpacks. I mean, just think, we were talking about the Yankees earlier. Just think of all the different products that the Yankees sell that you can buy to show that you are a true fan.
Oh, right.
So yeah. If you're a true fan, you can buy the cap, you can buy the sweatshirt, you can buy the jersey. All of this is merchandise. And then so they basically, the Cowboys merchandise, is they can sell more than any of the other football teams. And another important thing is a lot of people are searching for them on Google.
Right, right. That's, I think, perhaps the most telling statistic in terms of how much attention they capture and why they are second to none in terms of capturing attention. There's the evidence. They generate the most Google searches. And as we'll see, this is not because they have all these fans who are rooting for them and enjoy the Cowboys. In many cases, it's just the opposite.
They have a lot of haters. So when we talk about haters, it's somebody who really does not like you, somebody who hates you. So especially online, we're talking about online, you know, you say that this celebrity has a lot of haters. You know, like this, a lot of people really don't like them. For example, I can think of Amazon's owner, Jeff Bezos, his wife, Lauren Sanchez. I mean, there are reasons why people don't like her, but she has a lot of haters.
Yeah.
Like people really don't like Mrs. Bezos.
Mm.
They just don't like her. So there's a lot of haters. And here it says the people who hate the Cowboys hate them ferociously, deeply, and viciously. Ferocious. I think of a tiger.
Yes, exactly. Ferocious. When you relate it to an emotion, it simply means an emotion that is felt very strongly. It can have other meanings in terms of how aggressive an animal is in combat or in hunting. But when we're talking about human emotions, it means just very powerful, very passionate, ferociously, deeply, viciously. People who hate the Cowboys aren't just like like, oh, yeah, the Cowboys, boy, they're awful. They'll, no, no, no. They have got to tell you for like 5 minutes at a stretch why the Cowboys are so terrible. It just stirs something up in them.
Oh, that's amazing. Okay, friends, this is really interesting, but we need to continue this tomorrow. So I hope you'll come back and join us as we look into the secrets of what makes this losing team so extremely valuable and popular. So come back again tomorrow for another edition of Advanced. I'm Rebecca.
I'm Peter.
Saying goodbye.
Bye-bye.